You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Did you also check your Wi-Fi router and mobile data when your WhatsApp stopped working last evening? I sure did, and I know there are many more in the club. The global Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp outage still remains one of the biggest news. While these platforms are back, there's still no clarity on what exactly led to the six-hour-long outage. Hello and welcome to CNBCTV18.com. This is Kanishka Sarkar and you're listening to the Top News Podcast. Today, I have with me Jude Sanit of CNBCTV18 to tell us more about the outage, its impact on users, and Facebook's response.
Hi Jude, thanks for joining me on the Top News Podcast.
Hi Kanishka, good to be here.
Great, thank you. So, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp faced one of the longest global outages yesterday, and it lasted for nearly 6 hours. So, could you tell us why the outage may have happened, how it impacted the users, and how the parent company, that is Facebook, dealt with the situation?
You know, one of the most interesting facts about this outage was it was perhaps Facebook's longest outage, especially in the last 13 years, since 2008. And another really, really interesting aspect of this was the fact that for close to 6 hours, neither you nor I, nor billions around the world who had access to these apps, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, could even access them to even check out what was going wrong or to see whether it was back in action. And the craziest part is just this. Even employees of Facebook, service engineers at Facebook itself, could not log into their internal tools or their work systems to go about tracking information and even going about troubleshooting the issue. And that in a sense, is just how severe the issue has been, especially, you know, it was, of course, last night for us, but morning time for especially, you know, users in the U.S., people who had ad campaigns to run on social media platforms, that they are truly a trying time for them because of the complete lack of access to these social media platforms. Now, while Facebook hasn't quite given us a full statement yet, what we're given to understand was it was an internal server issue. That's the terminology that most, you know, tech observers are talking about at the moment. Some reports emerging from Facebook say that it was compounded because, like I mentioned, simply because Facebook employees were locked out of their own offices and couldn't quite access their workstations and systems to go about setting the issue right. You know, very interestingly, this comes nearly 24 hours, you know, after the Facebook whistleblower issue literally blew out of proportion. Remember, Francis Haig, a whistleblower, you know, who worked at Facebook, went, you know, public a few months ago, stating that, you know, she had proof that the social media giant was keeping user privacy interests at the backseat, especially in the face of going about, you know, allowing or, you know, providing a platform for hate content to go about being produced. So in a sense, while that whistleblower issue was being blown out of proportion, this comes nearly 24 hours after that. So it's been two very trying days for the social media giant. Incidentally, their stock also saw a bit of a downturn, leaving Mark Zuckerberg $7 billion poorer. So it's been a tough couple of days for them. And well, as far as we are concerned, users are concerned, we felt the effects of it last night when it really hit our smartphones.
Right. So, you know, when this happened, a lot of people went to Twitter and started using other platforms for messaging. So do you think since these outages have been happening for a while, maybe not as long as 6 hours like this time, so, you know, will we be seeing users switch to other platforms now that, you know, the privacy issue is also coming to the fore and these outages are happening?
It was quite amusing, in fact, last night when Twitter saw its user base actually go up by, you know, by many percentage points, especially given that, and I could be mistaken, but if I'm not mistaken, it's 59.8 million people logged on to Twitter at the same time when Facebook was down. So you saw a large migration of thoughts happening in a matter of few hours. But I think it was momentary because, you know, the fact still remains, Kanishka, that for a lot of people, Facebook is still the primary social media platform of preference. A lot of people use Facebook to follow news, to watch videos. I think content still is king on Facebook, especially when compared to other social media platforms. The same goes with Instagram as well. I think you and I both know how popular IGTV videos are today. It's addictive, keeps us scrolling, keeps us consuming more and more content. Whereas Twitter, on the other hand, is more microblogging. People with an opinion go about putting it right there. And people with a good following are more often than not the ones that gain a whole lot of traction as far as their posts and content are concerned. So to answer your question, will people use other social media platforms like Twitter? I don't think so. I think Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp still are right up there on the pantheon of social media platforms. For that matter, I don't know if you recall when privacy issues at Facebook first surfaced, or WhatsApp rather first surfaced, everyone was talking about how they'd move to Signal. And ironically enough, that was posted on Twitter. So you saw a few people moving to Signal, perhaps downloading Signal on their phones, and end up not using it at all, because that's how prevalent WhatsApp has become. And that's how important and so user-friendly WhatsApp is with regard to our day-to-day life. So will people move away from Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram? I don't think so, at least not for the moment.
Right. Great, too. Thank you so much. That's all I wanted to know for now. I'll get back to you when Facebook releases a formal statement about what happened, and then we can discuss this more, I guess.
Thank you so much, Kanishka. Good speaking to you. Thank you.
Next up, let's take a look at some other top stories that made headlines on October 5th. Sensex and Nifty closed higher for the second straight session today, despite weakness in Asian markets. The frontline indices staged a recovery in the second half of the session, as financial services, oil and gas, and IT stocks led the gains. The 30-script Sensex closed at 59,740 as it rose 445 points, while the Nifty 50 index surged 130 points to end at 17,820. Meanwhile, several power plants have reported that they have coal stock left only for 5 days, which has led the coal ministry to step in. As of October 3rd, as many as 97 coal power plants had stock for less than 5 days. This on a day when a peak shortage of 1,886 megawatt was recorded. Some analysts and power generating companies believe that Coal India's stockpile started dwindling when the second wave of COVID-19 hit, but the impact was only seen in August as demand remained subdued during the second wave. Unprecedented rains in many coal-bearing areas further hindered production, and non-payment of power bills from generation companies and regulation of coal also added to pain. While the government's focus to divert coal to power-generating companies is hurting the sectors like aluminium, steel and cement as they face curtailment, the coal ministry is stepping up efforts to address the coal shortage. Next up, in an update from Uttar Pradesh, on Sunday, that is October 3rd, 8 people, including 4 farmers, died in violence that broke out in Lakhimpur Kheri during a farmers' protest. This was ahead of a visit by Deputy Chief Minister Keshav Prasad Maurya. Reports say that the violence erupted after a car belonging to Ashish Mishra, who's the son of Minister of State for Home Affairs Ajay Mishra, allegedly ran over the farmers who were protesting against the center's farm laws. The minister, however, has refused that he or his son were present at the spot. Multiple political leaders, including Congress's Priyanka Gandhi, Punjab CM Charanjit Singh Channi, and Chhattisgarh Chief Minister Bhupesh Baghel, have been protesting and have raised concerns over the violence. While a plea has been moved in the Supreme Court for a high-level judicial probe into the incident, the deceased farmers' kin have refused to cremate their bodies. Moving on, let me tell you what happens next for Shrey Group firms, as their boards have been superseded by RBI. With the Shrey's board superseded and control handed over to an RBI-appointed administrator, the action will now move to the courts. RBI will soon move to initiate insolvency proceedings against the NBFCs and to name the administrator it has appointed as the insolvency resolution professional of the company. The central bank will most likely do so via a bank, which will file the relevant application with the NCLT under Section 227 of the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code. Next up, the centre has decided to reconsider levy of one-time spectrum charge demand of 40,000 crore on the telcos. The Department of Telecommunications, during the hearing of the one-time spectrum case, sought 3 weeks' time to reconsider, continuing with its appeal against a telecom tribunal's order that said that the one-time spectrum charge could be levied prospectively, not retrospectively. The DOT also acknowledged that the increase in stress in the sector could lead to a monopolistic situation. The government said that its various measures hadn't resulted in a boost for the telecom sector, and hence it was looking to review its decision to proceed with its appeal against the telecom tribunal's ruling. On the global front, three scientists have won the Nobel Prize in Physics for discoveries in climate and complex physical systems. The Nobel Prize for Physics has been awarded to scientists from Japan, Germany, and Italy. Socorro Manabe and Klaus Hasselmann were cited for their work in the physical modeling of Earth's climate, quantifying variability, and reliably predicting global warming. The second half of the prize was awarded to Giorgio Parisi for the discovery of the interplay of disorder and fluctuations in physical systems from atomic to planetary scales. With that, we end this podcast, but before I sign out, here's an opportunity where we will listen to you. In case you have any queries or suggestions, please do write to us on cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. For more updates, stay tuned to cnbctv18.com. Thank you for listening.